Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Romans chapter 3. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the text. As we celebrate Reformation Day, we are reminded that Reformation is not a day of boasting about Martin Luther, although the events of his life truly are amazing. What we celebrate today is the important work of God continually reforming his church. The church is always in need of reform. The church will never be pure and pristine. As Paul says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As I like to say, probably heard me say it before, I can make you a member of a perfect, pure, pristine church, but in order to do that, I would have to kill you. Because only when you enter the church triumphant will you see a perfect church. I wish that I could speak as eloquently as Paul, but in my own crass way, that's the way that we have to look at it. However, one of the marks of the true church is the striving for that pure doctrine, even though it's unattainable. The church is always in need of reform. Our challenge in the church today is somewhat different than the challenges that Martin Luther faced. We still battle against works righteousness. There are not any indulgence sales going on in the streets of Quincy, at least to my knowledge. But you're kidding yourself if you don't think that most people are looking for a way to provide for their own salvation through the works of the law in some way, shape, or form, and getting into heaven outside of the death and resurrection of Christ. During this political season, I know there are many of you who are tired of hearing about polls. However, there are a couple that pertain to our discussion today. Polls show that 90% of Americans believe in heaven. Ironically, only 85% believe that they will end up there. I don't know about that 5%. You would think that that would be important. In our life, we are confronted with many things that we list as being important. But like for that 5%, very often we don't follow through on that. But we look at the things that are truly important when raising your children. You know that they are not always going to do what is right. No child is perfect. So then as a parent, do you say, well, since they're all going to sin and fall short of the glory of God anyway, it doesn't matter what they do. We'll let them do what they want. As long as, you know, they're happy, whatever makes them happy is fine. Well, of course, as a parent, you would never do that. Because teaching them and disciplining them is important. We'll never do it perfectly, but doing it is important. It takes time and years of instruction for someone to mature and grow so they have the tools to deal with the trials and difficulties of this sinful world. One important thing that you teach your children is how to eat healthy. Now, what if you let your children eat whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted? And you made available for them whatever they wanted, you know, and any time of the day they wanted it. So there was always, you know, pizza and chicken McNuggets, hot fudge sundaes, Mountain Dew, Monster energy drinks. What if that was always available? You also made available, you know, fruit, had some apples there, had some vegetables, lean meat, bread, potatoes. If all of those options were available, which would they choose? Some would choose wisely. But if you ever walk through a school cafeteria, you will see that most would not. The children of God in Christ's church, we are children. I said before that our challenge in the church today is somewhat different than the challenges Martin Luther faced. The church Luther sought to reform presented Christ as a vindictive judge who sat up in heaven looking down on sinners like you and me and was looking to throw us into hell, or at least purgatory, so we could work off suffer the punishment we need to suffer to cover the sins that we didn't make up for with our good works here on earth. Christ was viewed not as a merciful and gracious redeemer, but as a vindictive judge, all-powerful. The church in need of reform today presents Christ very differently. If you look around at much of what is passed off as religious activity today, Christ is presented as being unimportant. Another poll of those who call themselves Christians show that 70% of those who list themselves as being Christian, 70% believe that most all religions lead you to the same God. It doesn't matter if you have faith and trust in the death and resurrection of Christ. Even our own brethren who call themselves Lutheran in the ELCA, in their official doctrinal textbooks that they use at the seminaries for training their pastors, it says it doesn't matter whether or not Jesus actually rose from the dead. Whether he did or didn't doesn't matter, they say. All that matters is that we have faith. But faith in what? In an unimportant myth? That is the world in which we live. A wide swath of Christendom, polls say that Jesus' main purpose for coming to earth was to teach us how to do good, to teach us to be the best that we can be. That's the works of the law. That's what Paul says does not justify us. So if the death and resurrection of Jesus is unimportant for your salvation, then what we do here would be unimportant. How we treat the body and blood of Christ would be unimportant. How we worship him would be unimportant. If the goal of the church is to be popular, and 70% of the people believe that Christ's death and resurrection is not the only way to salvation, it's easy to see why many take the hot fudge sundae monster energy drink approach to worship and teaching. This is why it's such a challenge for our churches to remain faithful and spiritually healthy. This is why it's such a challenge for the children of God to remain faithful and spiritually healthy when there are so many other food options available. Now, don't get me wrong. It's just like with our bodies. You know, I'll have a pizza and an occasional Diet Coke now and then. I've even been known to enjoy a hot fudge sundae. But I know that these are not the staple of a healthy diet. I know that I am notorious for drinking Diet Coke. But I also drink about a gallon of water every day, and I have milk with every meal. But it tends to be in public places that I'll have a Diet Coke. But drinking the water and the milk is important for me, for the health of my body. I believe in having an enjoyable and dynamic worship experience when we gather around God's Word and sacraments. And I believe we do have that dynamic and enjoyable worship experience because of the food that we receive. The body and blood of Christ are offered each week. We do not have to go hungry. Our worship is dynamic because the liturgy and hymnody are filled with the depth of the Word of God. It was killing me this morning that I can't sing because of the remnants of this cold that I have. The hymns of the church, the words of a mighty fortress, are so rich and full. I'm not simply talking about worship style. Whatever we do as we gather in the name of our Lord, we must always remember that what we do here is important. And at the same time is something that fills us with joy. So we don't offer the theological equivalent of a hot fudge sundae, because spiritually that would be very unhealthy. And it would really be totally out of place. You think about the just extremely popular movies like The Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter series. In those movies, in the scenes that deal with death or life-changing events, what kind of music do they play in the background? Is it music that the young fans of those movies would listen to in the radio driving around Quincy? Well, no, they play music that lets you know that this is important. I don't listen to 16th century hymnody when I'm driving around town. However, when we turn our attention to the broken body and shed blood of Christ, how we worship should be recognized as being important. Proclaiming the death of Christ, the broken body and shed blood of Christ, which covers your sin. This is important. Your typical hot fudge Sunday churches, they don't even celebrate Good Friday. It's not on their calendar. They don't even acknowledge the death of Christ, because for them it is not important. The church is always in need of reform, and this includes our church. This Reformation Day, we celebrate the reforming of the church in the past, and great and important events took place back in the 16th century. But our concern must be for the church of the present and of the future. Raise your children and your grandchildren to know that God's Word is important. Tell your neighbor that Christ's death and resurrection are important. And always remember that in God's eyes, your presence in the kingdom of heaven is important. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.